This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is high. It is far. It is gone.
There's no better way to celebrate your favorite MLB team than by visiting Baseballism, the official lifestyle brand of baseball. Baseballism specializes in apparel for men, women, and children, and now offers officially licensed MLB team apparel. For a limited time, get 15% off your next order by using the code PODCAST at checkout. Shop now at Baseballism.com or visit Baseballism San Francisco on the corner of King and 3rd. Baseballism is America's brand.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another wonderful week of Major League Baseball action, which means you are currently listening to Big Time Baseball for Odyssey Sports. Cody Decker here, former professional baseball player turned professional smartass on the radio, and with me, the one and only, the legendary, catch him on New York Post and his great writing. You catch him on MLB Network with everything he does, all not to mention all his podcasts. He is John Heyman. John, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Cody. It's great to be with you.
It is always great to be with you. It's always a joy getting to talk baseball with one of the best baseball minds out there, John. And that, in my opinion, is you. We got to talk about, obviously, the elephant in the room, which is the brawl that took place in Anaheim. And I will say this, it seems as though everybody's having a lot more fun with this brawl than past brawls in the past. Am I wrong with this?
No, you're not. There was some funny stuff. I mean, I don't like to encourage brawls, but it was quite amusing and somewhat entertaining. So I got to say, this was a little bit different.
It was. Both teams not really in any playoff hunt. In fact, I almost liked it because it seemed like these two teams, who I think a lot of people, including myself, were really excited to see this year, have been without a pulse all season. Seeing either team actually finally show some passion, I found to be kind of encouraging, actually.
Well, I'm glad that you saw the positive. I thought it was amusing that the interpreter, now I didn't actually see, you know, I don't have the film, so I don't exactly know what everybody did in this thing. You know, MLB has to go over it. You know, it's not so easy probably to look at every single person and see what their involvement was. But the interpreter, I thought that was funny that he got a suspension. Maybe you saw exactly what he did. When I heard the interpreter, I said, well, it can't be Ipe. I don't know if you know the interpreter for
For Shohei Ohtani, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's the most mild-mannered guy I've ever met. It was a different interpreter. They've got a few interpreters there. And, you know, that I thought that was something. And then, of course, at the end, where was it Raisel Iglesias who took all the sunflower seeds and tried to throw, you know, the guy's got a great arm. He tried to throw him across the diamond and couldn't quite make it. But that was something else as well. So it was amusing. Like I said, I don't want to encourage it, but this was one of the most entertaining brawls I've seen.
Oh, yes, it truly was. By the way, Phil Nevin, interim manager, 10-game suspension. And I've known Phil a long time. I played against Phil a lot. I've hung out with Phil a few times. I absolutely love the guy. I love his intensity. I love everything about him. I'm blown away as a man that is as intense as Phil Nevin can be. You know, 17 games into your managerial career, getting a 10-game suspension is really something.
He will now have more suspended games than victories by the end of the suspension. I mean, I know Aaron Boone's a big fan of Phil Nevin. A lot of people love the guy. Very intense. You know, some people think he's got a little bit of a temper, which may or may not be the case. I don't know him personally. You know, he seemed calm in his post game, but you know, it was a bit unusual 17 games into your tenure to change starting pitchers to put in an opener with the express purpose of throwing at people. See that very often, and that's why he got 10 games, because he sent someone out there with the intention of getting retribution. Obviously, Mike Trout not too happy, and I don't blame him. The ball was thrown up and in, Swanson the pitcher, up and in on Trout, which we do not want to see. One of the greatest players of all time, not good, and I get why the Angels were upset. I get all that, but you can't change pitchers just to put a guy in there to throw at somebody. That'll earn you a big suspension every time.
Yeah, that's 100% a no-no. Here are the suspensions on the Mariners' side. Jesse Winker, 7 games. I think that's pretty earned. J.P. Crawford, 5 games. Julio Rodriguez, 2 games. Angels, the list is longer.
Yes.
A lot longer.
33 games. They got 33 games suspended.
You love this. Andrew Wants not appealing. Just a bunch of things. And I believe Phil Nevin can't appeal. So it's quite a few missing players and a lot of missing games. It's going to be the Salt Lake Bees over there in Anaheim for a week or two, it looks like.
Yeah, that hurts them to lose 33 games with all the injuries that they've had. I mean, Rendon, that's another thing about this brawl. Rendon is on the injured list. He comes out to take part in the brawl. He gets 5 games, and now that'll, of course, start next year. But now he can't even be on the bench with the team. They don't trust him to be on the bench.
Yeah.
So it was quite something. And, I do work at MLB, so people can say what they want. But I do think Nevin deserved the biggest penalty, and I think that Winker – deserved the second biggest penalty. He did apologize for flipping off the fans with both hands, which, you know, I think it probably should be 5 games for each hand. So I would give it maybe 10. But seven games is a stiff penalty. So you know what? They got stiff penalties. They earned it. They deserve it. And not going to help these two teams as they battle to try to get back in. Not going to be easy to get back in, especially where Red Sox are going. American League looks a little tougher than we thought. AL East looks really tough. That looks like the best division now. Even Baltimore is doing well, but what a disappointing year for the Angels and for the Mariners. But yeah, that'll be on their highlight film, what happened on Sunday.
Unquestionably, it'll be on their highlight film. Looking out throughout the rest of the league, O'Neill Cruz. I think everyone in Major League Baseball media owes a collective, including myself, owes a collective apology to both the Baltimore Orioles and the Pittsburgh Pirates, because both of these teams are very fun to watch right now. Baltimore playing pretty good baseball despite being in last place in their division, and Pittsburgh Pirates. Brian Hayes and O'Neill Cruz. I am going to watch every game of the Pittsburgh Pirates for the rest of the season. I'm gonna get tickets at PNC and sit with Michael Keaton in a year when this team starts really competing, man.
Is that their celebrity row? One guy?
Just one guy. You got Batman guy, and that's all you need.
That's all you need when you have Batman. That's a beautiful park. I do enjoy going there. Underrated city. I'm not apologizing, though. They earned it. You know, I mean, they have not been good for a while. Baltimore, much better than we've seen them. You could see them on the rise. No question about it. Their bullpen is good. The top of their lineup is good. If you look at their record outside of the division, it's very good. Just they're in a very, very tough division. So, they're in last place. Still, they're a pretty good team at this point. Pittsburgh, on the rise, got some more work to do. Certainly Reynolds is a good player. Key Bryant, fantastic defensively, especially. O'Neill Cruz is quite a talent. In terms of tools, now take Ohtani out of the picture because, I mean, it's not fair. I mean, he's got the greatest tools of all time probably. But take Ohtani out. Among the regular players, scouts tell me that O'Neill Cruz has as good tools as anybody. He's got the great arm. He's got great speed, and he obviously has great power. So, I mean, this is one of the most talented guys in baseball, right up there with Tatis and the other superstars of the game. One interesting note that I was pointing out to me, I didn't realize he's actually, believe it or not, older than Juan Soto. Juan Soto is 3 weeks younger than Cruz. I'm not giving my apology to Pittsburgh yet because I kind of suspect he should have been in the majors by now.
Yep, seems like it. Absolutely seems like it. But here's the thing. Right now, he shot up to the top of the NL Rookie of the Year futures as far as the gambling lines go.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a little inflated? Because I think this is Mackenzie Gore's award to lose.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go with a guy who's really done something to this point. And Mackenzie Gore is pitching like an ace. I mean, he's probably second best pitcher on that team to Musgrove right now. But pitching like an ace for a team that's right in the thick of things. I mean, you know, he's got a 65-game head start or so on O'Neill Cruz. You know, guys have won it in half a year. Willie McCovey was – this is before your time, Cody. But he won the Rookie of the Year in half a year. It's possible to do it. Can be done. It's been done a couple times. It's not that easy, though. So I think the futures may be getting a little ahead of themselves on that one. I would go with Gore. We'll see what happens here.
I agree with that. I do think the futures have gotten a little ahead of themselves. Although, you know, six straight games with an RBI to start your career is not a bad way to start.
Pretty good.
Boston Red Sox, you mentioned them surging. The AL East, in fact, currently every playoff spot, it seems, available, they currently have at hand. You can make the argument best division in baseball. I personally think it might be the NL West, but you can make a very good argument for both of these divisions. Red Sox, I mean, how real are they with the pitching that they currently have? Can they sustain this? The Rays are going to start getting a little healthier. Wander Franco coming back, hopefully get a few more bodies over there. But do you think this team is real and can sustain this second place spot?
Well, don't ask me about the Red Sox. I got back and forth on them. I had them as a playoff team to start. I gave up on them. I cursed myself out on Twitter for picking them to be in the playoffs. And now look at them. They're in second place. So they've done it quickly. They have great hitting. They've got three guys hitting way over 300, 2, 3, and 4 in the batting title race in the American League are Devers, Bogaerts, and J.D. Martinez. So that's a big advantage to have that kind of hitting right there in your lineup. I think they're a good team, which is what I thought to begin with. I think they're a little short on pitching. Obviously, if Sale comes back healthy, that'll be a big plus. Pavetta's been really good. I have a big faith in Eovaldi. Still a little shaky with that bullpen. Doesn't feel like anybody's really going to challenge the Yankees or the Astros. I just saw that series this weekend. Those teams look much the best to me, but Boston certainly a playoff team, as I predicted, and then, of course, went back on.
Mm-hmm. I like this team. I do think if they can get a couple – it's the arms that scare me more than anything else. I think they're – offensively, they can go toe-to-toe with just about anybody, but they just – there's something about their inconsistency. You mentioned how they go hot and cold. Mm-hmm. That hot and cold streaks just scare the living hell out of me. That makes me think that the Rays can just get this spot back. Not to mention the Toronto Blue Jays, man.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, the Blue Jays, I think on paper, I thought they'd be the best team. Obviously, the Yankees are the best team. I think Toronto, Berríos is not quite what he'd been. I still feel like with Manoah, Gausman, even with Ryu out, I think they're going to add an arm. They got a great closer in Romano. I just feel like the Blue Jays are the second best team in that division. And in the end, I think they'll finish second. But to me, that's the best division. I probably went away from them when the NL West was doing so great for a long time. But I think the AL East is the best. Now that I see Baltimore beating up on teams outside the division. And, to me, they're not bad. And the other four are really good. So I think that's the best division. I think Toronto's probably the second best team in there.
I have a theory, and it's about the Minnesota Twins, that one way or another, the Minnesota Twins will sneak into the playoffs. They're currently leading their division, but I kindly look at them that they're not a real first place team. I mean, I look at other teams. I look at the Astros and I'm like, yeah, that's a first place team. The Yankees, that's a first place team. I just don't feel the same way about the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah.
But isn't this how it always happens? A team like this kind of sneaks into the playoffs and they face a juggernaut like the Yankees, who have a history that it's almost like in the Twins bylaws that they have to lose to the Yankees in the ALDS every year.
I hope the Twins don't have to play the Yankees again. I mean, the record in the postseason against the Yankees. If they won a game, it's ridiculous.
It is. So
it's not fair. I hope they don't have to do it. But yeah, I'm with you. I understand what you're saying.
But based on this, like, doesn't this just seem like I was watching the Twins last night thinking, is this the year with the Twins that I truly don't think they're a real first place team, and the Yankees, who everyone, including myself, agrees might be the greatest team ever, that somehow this is the year that the Twins get past the Yankees in October? I can't imagine, but it would be a hell of a story.
I hope for their sake that they get to play somebody else. And I think we'll see how it shakes out. But at this point, I don't think they would have to play them in the first go round. But as things stand now, the Yankees and the Astros would get the bye. But even the next round, as things shake out, it doesn't appear they would. But you never know how things go. I will say this. They got to win the division to get in, because I do think that four teams from the East are going to get in the playoffs. So I think that battle, which is pretty good between Cleveland and Minnesota, and you could still throw the White Sox in there if you like. I think one of the teams is going to make the playoffs, and the other one's going to be left out, or the other two are going to be left out. So they got to win it. I think with Correa and Buxton, they got their health. They should have the advantage. I think I give Cleveland credit for where they are now, but I just kind of feel that Minnesota's a better team.
I think so too. And I've enjoyed the Guardians quite a bit, but neither of these teams, and you mentioned the White Sox. The White Sox, I still think, are the team that should be winning this division. We talked about how disappointing the Mariners have been. No one has been a bigger letdown, in my opinion, than the Chicago White Sox.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Absolutely. They are the most disappointing team in baseball. It's been a lost summer so far in Chicago. This is the team that was probably the most prohibitive favorite to win their division, maybe along with the Dodgers. And right now they are under 500 and playing even worse than that. They're not hitting. They're not good. Baltimore just took care of them for a few games. I've said some negative things about La Russa. I've said they probably should change managers, but it's not his doing at this point. They're just not playing well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, couldn't agree more. And looking at the other division in the Central, the NL Central, as of right now today, the 28th, the Cardinals have lost their lead right now to Milwaukee, who got a half game lead on them. Looking at these two teams, I think both teams have gaps. Both teams have strong points. Obviously, the pitching on the Brewers side on paper should get them all the way in, but their hitting has left a little to be desired so far this season. As for the Cardinals, I think they've pitched a lot better than we all expected without Jack Flaherty, but Jack Flaherty coming back and then immediately hitting the IL again is a big problem. On paper, I think the Brewers are the better team, but they're both going to be active at the trade deadline. Who do you think is going to get the advantage?
Well, I picked the Brewers, so I'm going to stick with them since they're basically in a dead heat now as we do this. I think Milwaukee's barely in front. The pitching with Milwaukee, that's where I gave them the edge. Woodruff now coming back, that's a big plus for them. I think both teams are good. I feel like they've underachieved. I mean, certainly both teams have had injuries. Goldschmidt has been incredible. That St. Louis defense is something else. They've got three of the war leaders positionally with Arenado, Edman, and Goldschmidt. Michaelis has had a great, great year so far. I kind of feel like they should both be playoff teams, and I'm not sure that they will the way things are going there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not lying. And speaking about playoff teams, the Mets. The Mets have kept a five-game lead over the defending World Series champion Braves. Kept the lead over a team that has surged back up into the rankings, even though they just lost defending MVP Bryce Harper. So I'm not feeling good about the Phillies going forward. But the Mets, they're going to get back Scherzer, who's going to do his next rehab assignment. And not to mention, there is not an established timetable that I'm aware of for DeGrom. But as we keep being told, DeGrom will be back. And you got to believe that Tyler McGill will be back at some point. Yeah. Are the Mets really going to be able to do this without those arms if they don't come back?
Yeah, well, I give them the credit for doing it without them to this point. Obviously, Scherzer was there for most of the first half, but has been absent for the past 6 weeks or so. Give them credit. Certainly, if they need something, they'll go get it. We've seen that. Steve Cohen wants to win. I think they're going to need certainly at least Scherzer back, and he will be back soon. We think one more rehab start for him, and he's ahead of schedule. I asked Buck Showalter about DeGrom, and he texted me that he's on schedule or something like that. I don't even know what that means, on schedule for DeGrom. We have no idea what the schedule is. I mean, maybe he knows what it means, but, I'd mostly be guessing that it's going to be a little bit after the All-Star break, but, I mean, we really don't know. We'd heard 2 months at least at the start, and now it's certainly going to be 3 months, and question is, will it be 4 months? DeGrom, if healthy, the best pitcher in the sport. We're just not sure on that one. I do think assuming Scherzer will be fine, and there's no reason to think he won't be, they're in good shape, even without DeGrom. Walker has been better. Carrasco has been mostly really good. Peterson has been good. They got more depth than we imagined at the start. So they're in good shape. And as I said, they need something, they'll go get it.
Mm-hmm. Talking about the Mets, I there is a team I want to talk about. That's the Braves. You know, Max Fried, I think, has really come into his own as an ace. Austin Riley, I think, is really kind of coming to his own as well. But this team, even though winning the World Series last year, they got Acuna Jr. back. They are currently without Ozzy Albies, which definitely hurts. This team does lead the major leagues with most Ks per game. They K over 10 times a game. Is that something that's going to come and bite them at the end of it? Or is this a team that's built to strike out and put together runs and beat up on teams?
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that. I think it's a really good team. They did win the World Series. Obviously, a slightly different team. They don't have, obviously, Soler or Rosario, great playoff players for them last year. So slightly different team, but you mentioned Riley coming into his own and Fried. What about Dansby Swanson?
Oh, I mean, yes. Woo. Man.
He has gotten good, and very good timing for him. He's made that free agent class even better, which Bogaerts will be on it because he will opt out. Trey Turner, another big star, will be a free agent. And I think Correa is going to opt out. We don't know that for sure, but why not, right? I mean, more likely than not, he'll opt out as well. So we're going to have four great free agent shortstops, which is what we ended up having last year once Lindor had signed. So another big shortstop class, but Swanson now a star.
You know, looking at the shortstop class, and, you know, we had kind of a flooded shortstop class last year. Would it be wise for Correa to opt out this year, or should he wait till the following year when it's probably going to be a completely barren shortstop class?
Well, I think you should, if you can do it while you're still young. He was doing it at 26 last time, going on 27. Now it's 27 going on 28. I would do it. I mean, there are enough teams that are going to need a shortstop. You know, you hear the Cubs are a team that's going to go after a big shortstop. They're certainly, we hope at this point, going to spend. Certainly all the teams that are going to lose, these players are going to need a shortstop. I mean, I love Trevor Story, and he's certainly gotten up a lot of big clutch hits for Boston, but I don't know that he's proven that he's going to be able to just go back to shortstop seamlessly. So, you know, all the teams that are losing these shortstops, they're going to need shortstops. And so, I think Correa will opt out, barring injury, and assuming a decent season. He didn't have to do last year where he had over a 7 WAR, but if he has his normal season, and he is heated up. I mean, he's playing good now. So I think that barring injury, I'm going to say Correa is going to opt out.
I'm going to go ahead and mention one thing here because it is in the rundown. So let's give a quick shout out to the Texas Rangers in that they've absolutely turned their season around and pulled themselves out of the gutter. Now, they're not a playoff team, and they're definitely not going to be competing with the Astros, barring some sort of miracle. But it's almost like them and the Angels decided to completely flip-flop and Freaky Friday this season. What a absolute fall from grace that we... I don't want to harp on the Angels too much. We know it's their pitching. What does this team actually have to do to compete going forward? Because it seems as though the AL West has a potential to be open in the years to come.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to pitching for Texas or the Angels. I think both teams have the hitting. Certainly the Angels do and should. Angels are in a funny spot. We mentioned this before with Ohtani. What do they do? I mean, you know, he's a free agent after next year. He's going to go from like, you know, he's at $5 million now. The average major league salary is going to go to $50 million in 2 years. So what do they do at that point? I mean, you trade Trout? I mean, you got to wonder, you're going to have three players making a combined $120 million plus. So they're in a kind of a bind. They are in a bigger market. They can afford to do some stuff. But, you know, if I'm them, I'm a little gun-shy on the free agent market. Obviously, signing their own Trout was good with signing, but the free agents they have signed, I think Syndergaard's done fine, but the ones they've given the big multi-year deals to have not worked out. You know, I certainly would want to sign Ohtani. He's been incredible and he's amazing, but they're in a bind. I don't know exactly what they're going to do. Texas, they've got money. They spent it. They've spent on Semien and Seager. They're playing better after slow starts. And I think they still will continue to spend and try to spend to win. But they do need pitching. Both teams need pitching. I don't think there's any question about Martin Perez coming back to Texas. Has done a nice job. I would think they'll try to lock him up. They only got him on a one-year deal, which seemed like the right thing to do at the time. But I mean, he's been one of the best five or six starters in the American League at this point. So pitching. That's the question for both those teams. Then the Angels have that extra question about the payroll situation they've got going on with all that money spent on Rendon and all that money they'll need to spend on Ohtani and, of course, on Trout.
Yeah, I mean, that money on Rendon. Hell, they already lost Rendon for last season. They lost him for this season. And they already lost him for five games next season. And not even close to it yet. I mean, it's a bit painful, unfortunately, that Rendon contract. But hey, still years left on it. Could be turned around. Let's hope so. And, John, where can people find you? Obviously, everywhere. New York Post and MLB Network.
And the main thing is Twitter, even though it's unpaid. That's my main work, it seems like. John Heyman. That's easy to remember.
I can't stress this enough. The most important Twitter account in all of baseball, and dare I say all of Earth, at John Heyman. Make sure you follow him, check him out, and everything he does. He's an absolute legend in the industry. And follow me at Decker6 on Twitter and Antihero Baseball on Instagram. You can find out where all the things I'm doing are. And, of course, join us again next week here for Big Time Baseball and Odyssey Sports. Like, share, and subscribe. Don't be afraid to send it to your friends. If they like baseball and want to hear some brilliance, just go ahead, like, share, and subscribe. Guys, thank you so much for joining. And John, thank you as always for joining me. It's always, always a pleasure.
Oh, Cody, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks so much, John. All right, everybody, enjoy you some baseball. Beat it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long.
Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.